in her first interview following her release from a federal prison last month. And in an interview with ABC's Good Morning America, the transgender soldier, formerly known as Bradley Manning, says she's accepted responsibility. More details at townhall.com.
A full-service spa is our most amazing amenity at Wind River Resort and Casino that will cleanse away your stress and renew you. Step inside and begin a relaxing journey that will soothe the mind and awaken the spirit. At Wind River Retreat, indulge in our beautiful spa overlooking the calming waters of Clear Creek. Let us help you unwind your mind, body, and soul with catered and customized treatments. Our spa is modern, serene, and clean. Here at Wind River Retreat, our exceptional menu of treatments allows you to select services that will calm the mind, body, and soul. Spend an hour or spend the day with us, offering massage, facials, nail care, and waxing, featuring Dermalogica products for skin care and body treatments. We're the only spa in Reading that has a steam and sauna for both men and women. Book your appointment today at 530-245-9494. Visit WindRiverSpa.com. Gift certificates available for purchase. Relaxation is better at the river.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Or not, good morning. Is that better? Wow. I had someone with exceptional hearing at my side. Can you hear?
Yes.
Oh. I just had the person with exceptional hearing. I'm like, why can I not hear anything? Good morning. It's Friday morning, so we can goof around a little bit. My name is Aaron Ryan, filling in for Carl Bott.
And I'm Sam Dorsey, filling in for Linda.
Oh, Linda.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And now we have Amy here from the Haven Humane with a dog. I already forgot his name.
Zach.
I can see him and he's not talking. What the heck is wrong with this dog?
Yeah, this is Zach. So Zach is a 3-year-old boxer pit mix. He does great with other dogs. He does good with kids. He is approved for kids with in a home with kids 8 and up, mostly because of his size. He walks really well on a leash, knows all of his basic manners. Actually, he can sit, shake, lay down, do all the fun stuff. He's actually pretty calm, and he's just a really sweet, sweet dog.
He can wear a t-shirt.
He can seriously wear a t-shirt. He can rock a t-shirt.
Yeah, he can.
Yeah, he does.
He
looks good in it.
He's kind of muscular.
Yeah, he looks good in it. So
he's very quiet.
He is available for adoption today. He's ready to go, so he's already been neutered, microchipped. He's had all of his health checks, important health checks, his flea and tick prevention, and his heartworm prevention, so he's ready to go today. However, if you are looking for a feline, tomorrow starts our Pawsport to adoption. Not passport, Pawsport. And all of our cat adoptions will be only $10 starting tomorrow. And that includes a really cool like swag bag. You get a t-shirt and you get a little Pawsport that you get to stamp on all the places you get to go, like Catamala and Meowie. Just really cute
nice.
Cat puns. Yeah. So that's starting tomorrow, and that will be until next Saturday. So if you are looking to adopt a feline friend, definitely now is the time to do it. Starting tomorrow morning, come on down to Haven Humane, $10 for cat adoption. So it's not, I mean, you can't beat $10 for an adoption fee.
No, it's either that or you have to pick one up from the parking lot of our office.
unlike those ones, these ones actually are going to come spayed and neutered and microchipped and fully vetted. So
and a lot friendlier.
Yeah. So yeah,
ours
thank you guys.
Ours run off all the time. So how big is he? I mean, I can see him, but he's
50,
like a medium
50, 60 pounds, not
kind
bad.
Kind of a medium-sized dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Good dog if you're on the river trail or something.
Yes, exactly.
Bottom line is he looks friendly unless you were a bad guy.
Yeah, no, and that's actually super true. This morning, he was sitting in the car with me, and he's met everybody this morning and did super fine with them. And there was a gentleman that looked maybe not so up on the up and up, digging through the trash can, and he had an issue with that. He was kind of talking to me. He's like, and I'm like, I know, I don't like it either because I was watching him.
Turn the engine on, Amy. Let's go home.
He's like, let's get out of here.
Good one.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, he's a really good boy.
All right. So, if you need a medium-sized dog, this is the one.
This is the guy. He's really calm, too. I mean, he's already past his puppy stage. He's not gonna tear your house apart. He's potty trained. He's, you know, it's a really good age to get a dog. I always say, give me a 3-year-old over a puppy any day. I don't want to potty train, and I don't want my shoes tight.
Puppies are so much fun, but lost your dog who was, yeah, well, in our case, 16.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you have a puppy, you're like, oh, I forgot.
It's like having a baby.
They are.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. It's like having a baby. Everyone's like, oh, are you going to have another baby? I'm like, no, if I wanted to do that, I just get a puppy. Like,
just go to work.
Yeah. No, thanks. No.
Nice. Well, thanks a million.
All right. Thank you, guys, and have a great weekend.
You guys have fun, and look out for the riffraff, huh?
Yeah, I know. It's okay. I got that.
Just let the dog handle that.
Yeah, Zach will handle it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks. And do we have to tell people that it's kind of raining outside a little bit? It's cloudy? Well, do we need to tell them it's cloudy in case they can't see out the window? Is that a rule?
Well, there's no official rule, but if you want to know the weather, today it's going to be mostly cloudy. Today it's currently 57 degrees with a high of 76 today. We have a 27% chance of rain, excuse me, this morning, and then it's going to be partly sunny later on, mostly cloudy at night. Tomorrow on Saturday we have a slight chance of showers, then a chance of shower, 50% chance of showers at night with a high of 71, a low of 53. On Sunday, we have a 50% chance of showers, a high of 65 and a low of 53. And on Monday, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 78 and a low of 56.
But now you're getting out into the, that might happen or might not happen.
Yeah, you don't know for sure when it goes that far out.
But. Yeah, exactly. So, can we talk to Brad now? Or do we have
testing
to say,
speakers.
Bradley, you are on.
Speakers are working.
Can you hear me? I don't know if you can hear me.
Really?
I do. Bradley.
I'll go ahead and end the call and hello?
Hello, oh, can you hear us?
Drats.
He's going to try back.
He could almost hear us. He could hear himself. Let's tell you about Brad a little bit, because this is kind of fun. He's calling us from Washington, so he should be fully awake, unlike the rest of us here. But Bradford Fitch has spent 25 years in Washington as a journalist, congressional aide, a consultant, college instructor, internet entrepreneur, and writer and researcher. He began his career in radio and television as a reporter in the 1980s. He began working on Capitol Hill in 88, where he served for 13 years. He's worked in a variety of positions for members of Congress, including press secretary, campaign manager, legislative director, and chief of staff. So he's done all sorts of stuff.
That's quite the resume.
I know, and he is currently the... Why did I not highlight that part? He is the president and CEO. He is, because I just remember that part. Yeah, here we go. It's on top. President and CEO of the Congressional Management Foundation. And those guys, they create resources for Congress. They'll train staff. They also do a lot with the public on citizen engagement. So they help people be more effective advocates. And heaven knows that, most people haven't done that.
Yeah. On their website, the first thing there is how to effectively engage lawmakers at town halls. So it's pretty straightforward.
Ooh, I missed that part.
That. Yeah, right there.
Because their site is congressfoundation.org, if you want to look that up. Very, 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 very helpful. What's happening over there? We can see Brad. Hi, Brad. Oh, Brad can hear us. He waved.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
I've actually never had somebody on Skype that was on the video. So it's kind of fun. You can actually see you. So we told people kind of who you are a little bit, but we thought we'd let you. Whoops.
I turned off my video.
Oh, darn it. It was fun for a second there.
Yeah.
We thought we'd let you kind of give us a little update on what you guys are doing, how people, I gave them your website, but how you can help them, because you have a lot of tools for the public.
Well, thank you, Aaron, and I'm delighted to be here. Our mission is now twofold. We have two parts of our mission. One part is to help the Congress improve how it interacts with citizens. The other part is how citizens interact with the Congress. If we do our job right, better laws are made. And in the citizen area, we've actually added some more resources, to be honest, as a result of some of the real explosion in citizen engagement that's happened since the inauguration. We created a Citizen Advocate Toolkit on our website. So if you go to our website, basically we had a lot of other resources that were frankly jumbled up in different sections, and we decided to put them in one, frankly, web page. So you can see articles, reports, videos on how citizens can use things, as you noted, like town hall meetings or letters to the editor or just, you know, basic garden variety meetings with their elected officials and how to make them more effective and engaging. One of the myths out there is that Congress doesn't want to interact with citizens, or that Congress is closing down and actually is receding or having even fewer town hall meetings. In fact, the opposite is true. Members are constantly seeking outreach and seeking an opportunity to interact with citizens. They do it for a couple of reasons. I mean, one, they're just outgoing human beings. I mean, they like to be liked. Remember, these are politicians.
Yeah, they didn't run for office to hide in a office.
Exactly. I was interviewing a member of Congress for a book I wrote a few years ago on citizen engagement, and she said, I think all members of Congress are still middle children trying to please their father. And if you keep that in mind and know that they are, you know, hand-holding, baby-kissing politicians that are actually wonks at heart that want to pass public policy, it makes it a lot easier to interact with them. And I'm always pleasantly surprised and encouraged when groups that we train will come out of a meeting with a member of Congress thinking that, you know, they had horns and a tail going into it, and then coming out, wow, she was really nice. I was really surprised. And I'm like, well, she's a politician. She wants to be nice to you. She wants to help you. That's what they do. They're public officials. That's why they make these incredible sacrifices. So we do want to encourage citizens to have these types of interactions that are meaningful, that lead to relationships with the lawmaker and the citizen, and that usually results in a more positive experience for both parties.
Nice. And you guys are also the Mythbusters. How about this? We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, maybe you can give us some of the top myths that people believe about Congress that are really not true. I like that part of your service the best, because it's very hard to diffuse some of that stuff.
Yes.
They're in office for, you know, a year, and then they get their salary for life. That's my favorite. Because it's like, well, where could that possibly be true in the real world? Anyway, we'll be right back. Our guest is Brad Fitch from the Congressional Management Foundation. We're here subbing for Carl and Linda because they're on vacation. God love them. I hope they're having fun. And you're listening to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State.
Summer's On Us sales event continues at Redding Kia, and the deals are so good.
Today, get 0% financing for 66 months and make no payments for 5 months on all new 2017 Kia Sorentos, Optimas, Souls, and Fortes.
And Kia Motors will make your first two payments.
That's right. Summer's On Us continues at Redding Kia, where every vehicle sold comes with complimentary lifetime oil changes and America's best warranty.
If you're in the market for a new car anytime within the next 5 months, come visit Redding Kia today.
0% financing for 66 months, no payments for 5 months, and Kia Motors makes your first two payments.
Take a test drive, make a great deal, have a great summer.
On approval of credit plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, any dealer document processing charge, and any emission testing fee. Must finance through Kia Motors Finance for Summers on Us offer. 0% for 66 months is $15.16 per $1,000 financed.
Sale ends July 10th. Redding Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue, Redding. Facebook, YouTube,
RedingKia.com.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Reading Dance Center will present the full ballet production of The 12 Dancing Princesses, as well as a featured medley of upbeat dance pieces titled All the World's a Stage on Saturday, June 10th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Follow the story of 12 beautiful princesses as they dance throughout a secret kingdom. Watch as a handsome apprentice becomes invisible and works to solve the castle mystery. Tickets can be purchased at readingcivic.com. This is a wonderful opportunity to watch Reading talent and support your local artistic community. Bring your family and friends for a delightful encounter with music and dance.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
That's right, Carl doesn't like the music. We like the music.
Yeah, I'm digging it.
Just a little respect, huh? That's kind of funny. There was a postcard delivered at the last town hall that the local congressman had that said, women demand respect, except it was spelled R-E-S-P-E-T.
Respect.
So, anyway, that song's always funny to me. After that, so Brad, what are some of the great myths?
Well, I do occasional C-SPAN gigs on Washington Journal, which, as you can imagine, if I'm talking about how people's voices can make a difference, how Congress are really hardworking public servants, not exactly the talking points that the C-SPAN crowd wants to listen to. Oh. And I've heard a couple myths that come in through. I just recently did one. You mentioned the healthcare one. There's the belief that the members of Congress have some kind of healthcare, or their healthcare is paid for by 100%. And in fact, their healthcare is almost identical to what you would get in any large organization. I mean, keep in mind, they work in the federal government with 3 million people. Having said that, when the Affordable Care Act was passed, the Congress put in a provision that forced all members of Congress and their staff, almost all staff, into the exchanges, which were designed for individuals. So all of members of Congress are in the D.C. exchange, but their employer, in this case the Congress, does continue to play an employer contribution just as you would in the private sector. And in fact, it's about 23% paid for by the federal government. And in fact, more than half of all Americans work in a company or an organization that has that same type of benefit. So it's pretty garden variety. The only extra benefit they get is they can do some outpatient work at military hospitals in the D.C. area. And I don't know why that was put in place. My guess is that if your doctor is back home in Poughkeepsie or Sacramento or Redding, you need access to a medical facility, and they wanted to make it easy for members of Congress. But we've heard all sorts of crazy perks, you know, like they have pension for life after 2 years, which is not true. Their pension vests like every other, you know, normal employee after 20 years. They do get a pension, which is unusual, obviously, in America these days. But most government employees get some kind of pension. Most of their retirement plan is similar to a 401k. It's called the Thrift Savings Plan. And, you know, like most 401ks, it's pretty good. They get a match, you know, from their employer. So it's pretty much, again, like a standard employer gets. But, you know, some of the other crazy myths, I remember my favorite one. And this was a thing on the internet. I had to look it up afterwards because I hadn't heard about this one. Was that when Nancy Pelosi was speaker, she had her own private 747 jet?
Yes, I hear that a lot too. Is that fake?
Do you? Yeah, that was a great one. That was really good. And no, she had a security detail. They flew her a couple times on a 747 because it couldn't refuel. They didn't want to, you know, land a plane where Speaker Hastert can get, when he was Speaker, could get to Chicago in a smaller plane. But in general, no, she didn't have that.
Those are
some of the things that we hear. When I get together with relatives outside of D.C., and you can imagine, again, lively conversation over the Thanksgiving Day table, I do play Name That Perk, because members of Congress do have three perks that most Americans don't get. Most of the perks were wiped out in the 80s and 90s as a result of ethics reform and things like that. So no more free lunches. The trips that they go on are pretty much business trips, and I can come back to the value of those trips in a second, because one of the reasons we have gridlock in Washington is because members are traveling less with their colleagues and with each other. But let me come back to that in a minute, because let's play Name That Perk. So I'll give it to you, our host here. Can you name, what do you think might be one perk out of three? There's only three left. They have three perks. Do you know a perk of a member of Congress has?
They get to use the gym?
Well, yes, but that's not quite a perk.
I know. I know. It was a desperate attempt.
That. So that throws out my guess of free lunch.
Yeah, no free lunches.
Really? No,
no
free lunch. Okay.
Yep, no more free lunch. You got to buy your lunches. And the receptions at the fundraisers on Washington, D.C. aren't that great because they're trying to save money on food and bring in money for campaigns. So
I know they have to pay for their own housing, right?
Right.
Pay for their own housing.
But you're close to one. Ooh. One is they do have a tax credit that's been in place for about 100 years now. They get a $3,000 tax credit because they're expected to maintain two homes. So they do have a tax credit. The other one does have to do with travel. Every member of Congress, there's a special parking lot at National Airport for members of Congress and the Supreme Court.
Oh.
And I've never quite understood why the Supreme Court has it, because they don't travel.
I was going to say, where are they going?
Yeah, you know, exactly. And
Vegas.
Then the third one that I think is really lavish, actually, is when they do travel on official business or unofficial business, when someone pays for a trip, they are allowed to bring a spouse or a family member with them. And that's a little rare. That's usually only CEOs of major companies get that perk. But they do – and again, the reasoning is the average – work week for a member of Congress when they're in session is 70 hours a week. When they're back home, it's 59 hours a week. And now I know I'm talking about their work ethic, not their work product. I'm perfectly aware that a lot of Americans have a problem with the congressional work product, but they're spending a lot of time at work. So I think that the trade-off is, if you do have to do work for travel where you're going on these trips, that a family member can come along. But those are the only three perks left. There's really nothing left. There used to be in the 80s and the 70s. There were a lot of perks, and I started working on Capitol Hill in 1988. But I've also talked to, you know, kind of the old guys who were mostly men who were working in the 70s. And I mean, there were tickets to the Redskin game, to the Kennedy Center. You know, the lobbyists at Christmas time would, you know, literally bring their cart of booze around and pass out bottles to Johnny Walker, you know, and plenty of vodka. I mean, that was Congress in the 70s, and we're all like saying, why didn't it work back then?
Yeah,
you know?
Really. We should have gotten a lot more done back then.
This time when I started in 1988 through 90, Nabisco would walk up with these giant boxes of products, and they'd come in with these gift boxes, and they'd have cookies and crackers and, you know, all sorts of stuff that they would give to congressional offices. And that's, you know, gone the way of the dodo bird. That kind of stuff doesn't happen anymore on Capitol Hill.
You don't want all that snacking.
Yeah, like.
Right.
Everybody be tired all the time?
Why?
Well, there is one funny – speaking of snacks, there is one funny loophole in the ethics laws. You can accept gifts if it's a home product. So, for example, if you represent Atlanta, you can take Coke products. You can take Coca-Cola. And what this has evolved into is an underground black market of exchanging gifts between the junior staff members who don't, you know, make a lot of money. So you got the guy from Atlanta, you know, calling Hershey, Pennsylvania, hey, I'll trade you Coca-Cola for Hershey bars. So that's actually happening a little bit, and that's kind of funny. But that's the only thing. So if
it's
you
like
go
mash.
Into an office.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you go into an office, you'll actually see some of those home products on display, and they are allowed to accept those, and they usually give them out as gifts to constituents who come visit.
Oh,
well, that's kind of fun.
Yeah,
I don't get why it's called a home product though, because like I'm thinking Comet or sponges or something.
I was thinking
not that kind of
like baked goods.
Oh, you are?
Your mom makes.
Oh, okay. I was thinking about cleaning. Must be an age thing.
So why did they have this push to kind of remove all these perks? Or, like, how did that start? Do you know?
Well, each scandal befell another series of election reforms. The last one was in 2007, and that was a result of the Jack Abramoff affair. If you might remember, Jack Abramoff was a very flamboyant lobbyist who worked for Indians – nations and really took advantage of them. He ended up being convicted. People forget that it was a congressional investigation that actually brought out the Abramoff affair, led by John McCain as chairman of the Indian Affairs Committee. And that was actually what brought out the Abramoff affair. And unfortunately, Abramoff became a bit of a poster child, people thinking all lobbyists are like Abramoff. And it's not. He was a complete aberration. I mean, there was a reason he was called Fast Jack, and they made a movie of him with Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Fortunately, it wasn't that good a movie, so most people didn't see it. But anyway, people still have the impression that that's the way Washington works, and it's not. Most lobbyists in Washington, D.C. are actually representing a doctor or a patient. That's, and I say most, that's a plurality, whether it's the Alzheimer's Association, the American Medical Association. I mean, every doctor profession has a lobbyist. And so that's what really lobbying is. Having said that, unfortunately, they pushed through this law in 2007, the first draining of the swamp that was announced, called the Honest Leadership and Open Government Act, and that was the last big ethics law that was passed. And that completely banned any kind of gift, any kind of meal. Up until that point, you could go to lunch and accept up to a $50 lunch with a lobbyist. And in 2007, that law was banned. And in fact, I was actually talking with some former congressional staffers, and they think that effect has actually been negative in the effect that it has inhibited the ability of staffers to collect data in a casual setting, to build relationships with the industries that they regulate and they pass laws on. And just in general, there's been just a clamping down of bipartisan travel. And I alluded to that. And that's a bad thing. I mean, when these members of Congress travel, they build relationships with one another. I was just listening to a member of Congress on a telephone town hall meeting just last night, who's a member of the Armed Services Committee. And he was talking about building a relationship, he was a Democrat, with a Republican because they went on this trip together. And that is what happens. Our research shows that these social relationships lead to legislative relationships. And if you go back as far as like 1986 and the Great Compromise that led to tax reform during the Reagan administration, many people point to the fact that the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, Dan Rostenkowski, a Democrat from Illinois, had a good relationship with Bob Michael, the House Minority Leader. And the reason they were able to come to a compromise was because they had traveled together and they had gotten to know each other. And so I think that is one of the unintended consequences of these ethics reforms. And I'm not bashing the 2007 law, because there's a lot of good things, sure, I believe, in that law as well. But the unintended consequence is we do have fewer bipartisan relationships. We do have staff that are less informed in the decisions that they make because they're not allowed to socialize in any way, shape, or form, in any logical way. And unfortunately, that means that, frankly, some of the laws we have, or at least the attempted laws, don't happen.
Yeah, and they get a little disjointed. That's kind of interesting. How about this? Take a quick break. When we come back, could you talk to us a little bit about the budgeting for Congress? Because when people hear that Congress's budget hasn't been increased for a while and you have all the details on that, I don't think they realize what that means to them. And maybe we could use that as a little bit of a gateway into, you know, how this affects folks at home and what they can do about it. So we're going to pick your brain. We're going to fully pick your brain as quickly as we can in the time we have with you. So we appreciate you coming on with us. We're speaking with Brad Fitch. He is the president and CEO from the Congressional Management Foundation. You can find their information at congressfoundation.org. And you're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
After we inspected the vehicle with a driving problem, I called the insurance company, Don Steck, for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The insurance adjuster seemed skeptical because the vehicle had recently been repaired, so I invited him to inspect it. The first area was only 1/8 inch off, as was the second. He said, "I don't see a problem. Each area is within tolerance." "Tolerance is accumulative," I said. "This car is 1/4 inch short on one side, and that will amplify over the length of the car. When measured the full length, the wheels will not align. Accumulative damage is often not understood." He said he would check with the shop to do the repair. He called later and said, "They are frustrated, because no matter how perfect they make it, Coachmaster can always make it better." I replied, "If we can make it better, it was not perfect." Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
The Cascade Theater is launching a brand new season of shows June 1st, featuring Olivia Newton-John, Pink Martini, and performances from award-winning country, rock, and comedy stars. Members can start buying tickets June 1st. Everyone else, June 13th. Become a member of the Cascade Theater today for early access to the best seats, ticket exchange privileges, opportunities to meet the stars in person, and more. Get the rewards of a Cascade Theater membership. 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
It's time to celebrate with Anderson Explodes, Pam Tillis and Amy Clausen on July 3rd at the Shasta District Fair. Brought to you by the McConnell Foundation, Redding Kia, Sierra Pacific Industries, KRCR, Chronic Disaster Services, and this radio station. Admission is free, so come on down. Gates open at 4 p.m. Music starts at 7:30. Fireworks at 10 p.m. Food and drinks are available, including the annual 4-H FFA barbecue. Parking is just $4. See you July 3rd at Anderson Explodes.
Hello, we are back.
That was Sam.
Yes.
All right, Brad. So what do we know about congressional resources and why do people care about that?
Well, first to and this is, again, going to make me sound a little bit like a champion for Congress. I'm more of just an explainer of Congress. Let's look at the congressional budget in context of the federal government. Many people think that, you know, there's a lot of lavish spending going on. In fact, the U.S. Congress, or the legislative branch of our government, represents 1/10 of 1% of our budget. 1/10 of 1% of the budget. And so it's very small in comparison to any other department. Members of Congress pay is actually it sounds lavish because it's $174,000 a year, and that's way more than most Americans actually get. But in reality, most members of Congress are taking a pay cut. They're lawyers. Half of them are lawyers. They're doctors. They're, you know, in other professions that they could make more money. Each member of the House of Representatives has a budget of about $1.3 million. They have to spend it on certain things. They can't spend it on things like parties or food or liquor or anything like that. They got to spend it on furniture, district office rent, computers, software, garden variety stuff like paper, you know, reimbursing for mileage for staff to travel around the district. One of the interesting statistics that most people don't know is that only one agency, only one government entity in the last 6 years has actually cut its budget. And that's the U.S. House of Representatives. Starting in 2011, they felt they wanted to demonstrate symbolism because they were cutting other agencies at the time. Things were – belt tightening was going on. And so between 2011 and 2014, every congressional House office experienced about a 20% cut in their budget. And that's a real cut. I mean, that was like from $1.4 million to about $1.2 million. And it resulted in either laying off or through attrition, losing one full-time employee. So if their average – they had 17 employees, it went down to 16 employees. And that has a direct impact on citizens. If you've got four people in the district office that are responding to constituent requests, which often come in, whether it's immigration status or their grandfather lost their World War II medals or their Social Security check wasn't delivered, or I heard a great one the other day where a veteran couldn't convince the VA that he was alive.
Yep. I was just going to say that's the favorite. Is
Yeah, the VA thought he was dead and so wasn't providing VA benefits. And he's like, "No, I'm talking to you on the phone. I'm not dead." And, you know, the person, the other, no, you're dead. It's right here on paper. I got it in the computer. So this is, requires the intervention of a congressional office. Well, instead of having four people working on those, now they have three. So instead of taking a month to resolve that problem, maybe it takes a month and a half or 2 months because they've got to do more work. And it has a, it's just any type of customer service operation. Congress is like a business, a small business. And if you've got less people serving the customers, you're going to get less service. It just, this is a supply and demand. This is just a logical mathematical equation. And so that's the challenge that, that Congress faces, is always asking to do more with less. Add to that an extraordinary explosion in constituent communications, especially in the last 6 months, primarily as a result of the internet. Every congressional office since 2001 has experienced anywhere from a 500% to a 1,000% increase in constituent communications over that period of time. And then it went even up in January, probably as a result of the Trump administration and some of the proposals. We've got some congressional offices that, compared to a year ago, have seen a 900% increase in constituent communications, 900% increase. And they don't have more staff to answer it. They just got to figure out how to reply to these constituents. So that's some of the challenges they face from a budgeting standpoint. It is frustrating because they want to do more. They want to serve constituents. But it's really hard as demand is increasing and their budgets are not.
And you look at districts like ours here in the North State that Reading would be part of, and this is 11 counties. I know everyone has the same number of people in their district, but when you get up here, the geography is such that we're 11 counties that stretch from Sacramento all the way to the Oregon border. So
the other thing that, that you'll
drive
see,
time
and
all the rest
really
of it
important.
Is a lot.
Yeah, and that's a challenge. When you have these geographically stretched out counties, you got to have your staff travel from county to county, although the technology allows for a lot of teleworking. The other thing that's been cut in the last 30 years is, regrettably, what we call the intellectual infrastructure of the Congress. You know, the Congress plays on the same policy playing field as some other pretty big players like the White House and the executive branch and the lobbyist on K Street. And they've got to bring the same – attempt to bring the same resources to bear. But because the Congress has consistently cut its budgets and cut its intellectual infrastructure, it makes it less equipped to do battle in this playing field. So you look at things like the Congressional Research Service, which is an arm of the Library of Congress, which is there to provide answers to questions, and they're policy experts on everything from nuclear weapons proliferation to biotechnology. They've seen cuts at the Congressional Research Service. They eliminated a really bipartisan independent agency in the 1990s called the Office of Technology Assistance, sometimes called the last honest man in Washington, and that was eliminated. You've seen cuts to the General Accountability Office, which is the auditors that go in and look at whether agencies are performing well and if they are doing their job or doing what they're being told to do through the laws and the regulations that are passed. And one author said it's as if Congress gave itself a frontal lobotomy, and that has, again, serious implications. You know, if you've got members of Congress that are trying to wrestle with questions like, how do we keep our electrical grid safe from cyber attacks, and they don't have an expert that is equipped in cybersecurity and electrical grids that has experience in that area, and by the way, I'm not making this up, this is some of the challenges they face, that has real implications for citizens.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It really does.
So sort of in a effort to represent the interests of their constituents, they have hurt their ability to represent their interests of their constituents.
That's a rather circular and accurate way of saying it. Yeah, but we don't want to give the impression that people, they don't listen to the people and they don't have resources to listen to the people. I mean, members of Congress are listening so hard they're going deaf. We haven't talked about social media yet, and probably should touch on it, because social media is a wonderful addition and a new window and way into Congress. And members of Congress are taking ample advantage, primarily of Facebook and Twitter, to interact with citizens. And what our research has shown is that a few citizens, like a couple dozen, if they're commenting on a member of Congress's Facebook page or Twitter, the members will pay attention attention to that. Remember, there are these people that want this attention, and they view social media as a way to get an instant reaction to what they're doing in Congress. I was about to do an interview on C-SPAN a couple years ago, and the person who was ahead of me in Washington Journal was a congresswoman talking about the debt ceiling, and her press secretary was in the waiting room with me, and she's watching the interview, and she's looking at the congresswoman's Twitter feed, and she's commenting, oh, someone liked that comment. Oh, they didn't like that. She's getting a line-by-line analysis of the interview on C-SPAN. And I asked the press secretary, is the congresswoman going to see that feed after this interview? She said, are you kidding? She's going to grab this from me before she gets to the elevator. She loves this stuff. And so it's a really robust and authentic way to have a conversation with an elected official.
That's pretty great. And you have direct access at that point, because a lot of what has been done are big, faxing campaigns and that kind of thing. How effective are those?
Not very effective. In fact, we recently issued a report, and I encourage people, it's a free report on our website at congressfoundation.org. And it came out in January, called Citizen-Centric Advocacy, the Untapped Power of Citizen Engagement. And we looked at our survey data of congressional staff going back 12 years, 9 surveys, nearly 1,200 staff responses went into this data. And what it shows is the Congress is moving away from not paying attention, but really integrating these mass email campaigns that are the dominant form of what passes for dialogue coming into their offices. And what they're looking for more are robust relationship building efforts. So those people that will participate in a telephone town hall meeting or set up a meeting with their friends and the member of Congress in the district office, or get to know the staff members. And we did research over time, and it shows that those people that build relationships, that communicate to the legislator the local impact of a decision and personalize it, and the power of personal stories cannot be understated. It's really incredible how powerful personal storytelling can be in an advocacy effort. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for that type of thing. They'll count the mass email campaigns in many cases, although in some cases they won't, depending upon the office. But many times they'll count it. But it's just not the same thing, and it's not remotely going to have an impact. Let me just add a caveat to this. I'm not saying that emailing members of Congress is bad. Quite the opposite. If you individualize that message, if you put in a little bit about how you're affected by this bill. Let's say you want to talk about the Republican proposal on health care, and you have a pre-existing condition, and you're concerned that you might not be able to get health care coverage if this bill is passed into law, or if you're a small business that feels burdened by regulation, or let's say you've got a health care plan and you've got a, you know, $20,000 deductible, and it costs you $20,000 a year. And those are some of the stories that members of Congress have heard. That's something that Congress wants to hear from. They want to hear from you those kinds of stories. And if you individualize it and put it in an email message, that'll get through to the member of Congress.
Nice. All right. Take one quick break, and maybe when we come back, you can talk to us a little bit about how people could be more effective at the local level, because most people aren't traveling to Washington, D.C. to speak with their member of Congress. They're dealing in their district offices and that kind of thing, and we've seen that be fairly dysfunctional of late. So maybe some hot tips for those folks.
And this is KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
Orchard Nutrition Center knows that your time is valuable. Now you can place your deli order online, and we'll have it ready when you're ready. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Facebook page and click on the Use App button. From there, you can select to order delicious deli items such as deli cheeses, meats, a variety of fresh-made salads, or you can select to build your own custom deli sandwich. Choose from a variety of freshly baked breads. Add your favorite cheese, meat, condiments. And don't forget to add your favorite veggies, and if you'd like to add some extras, that's okay. Create your sandwich your way. And now you can pay online with our secure online checkout, and your order will be ready in 30 minutes. Whether a single item or a large order for your office or family, skip the checkout lines and log on to Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook at orchardnutrition.com, or download the Orchard Nutrition Center app from Google Play or the App Store. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Hey, high school sophomores, juniors, and seniors. It's been a long year and graduation is just around the corner. After all that hard work, a nice summer break is well deserved. But wait, did you know that by taking a few classes at Shasta College this summer, you can get a jump start on your college education? Shasta College has more for you. More classes so you can graduate faster. More programs so you can choose your perfect career path. More flexibility to work around your busy life schedule. And more ways to graduate and transfer than ever before. Summer enrollment is happening now, and we've made it easier than ever for you to register. Call 242-7650 to get started and get a jump on your future career with summer classes at Shasta College. The world is full of endless possibilities, and Shasta College is here to help you begin your dream and secure your future. It's your life, your path, and your college. We just help you bring it all together. Get your jump start at Shasta College. Register today at 242-7650.
Here's another energy-saving tip from REU, Reading's Electric Utility. Are you interested in saving energy and money? By investing in energy-efficient products, equipment, and technologies, you can further reduce your energy usage and increase your savings. Before you shop, review REU's rebate page and see how we can help you save money and energy. For more energy-saving tips, visit us at reupower.com or call us at 339-7200. REU and you. Powerful together.
Hello, this is Dr. Maria Salas. I wanted to say thank you to our amazing community for welcoming the Marine Corps Mounted Color Guard to Reading Rodeo Week 2017. I especially want to thank these individuals for their support. Crown Motors, Holiday Harbor, Smoke and Joe's, Dill's Deli, Vince Stevenson, Stevenson Firearm and Ammo, Ted Leidy, Northern Firearm Instruction, Sergeant Casey Day, Anderson Police Department, Carl and Linda Bach, KCNR, and I especially want to thank Gordon and Debbie Bach. And until next year, as always, remember, everyone deploy. Semper Fi.
And we're back.
I know where I'll be tomorrow. Being Corning at a Veterans Expo.
How fun.
All right, Brad. So how can people stop this dysfunctional chaos that they've got going on?
Heck if I know.
I like that deep breath.
If you're talking about, you know, the chaos that appears at whether it be at town hall meetings or, you know, citizen interaction, we're actually doing some research on that right now. And this is an unusual period of time for people attending town hall meetings. The average number of people at during a normal period is about, you know, 20, 30 people at a town hall meeting. Right now, we're tracking in the last, you know, sort of 100 or so town hall meetings we tracked in the last 2 months. The average is about 240 people. Now, I'm one of these people that kind of think that's a good thing, you know, that 240, you know, on average, you know, people come out on a Tuesday night to talk about healthcare or Russia investigations or, you know, Trump taxes, and they're doing that instead of watching American Idol. I think that's kind of good for democracy. What's bad for democracy is when people come out and they shout at their congressman, they yell. There was a guy who went to a town hall meeting recently who had a sign, and the sign said, "I didn't come here to listen to you. I came here to yell."
Yeah.
You might as well just put on the sign, "I came here to be ineffective. I'm wasting my time," because that's what they're doing. They're wasting their time. It doesn't make a lot of sense. What is effective are those people who come with thoughtful questions, who ask serious questions, who have done a little research, who can tell personal stories. If you can get together with other people in a group and go for a meeting with a senior staff member of the congressional office or the member themselves, they will take those meetings, pick up the phone and do that. And if you don't believe me, I've got a blog on my website that I wrote and a video that connects to it about a guy named Bob O'Hara. And Bob, this is a true story. Bob was just John Q. Citizen living in Massachusetts, and like many people, were frustrated with gridlock and what he was going to do about it. And he decided to get involved with this bipartisan group called No Labels. And they were having their first sort of convention in Washington, D.C. And Bob came to Washington. And this is a true story because I met Bob 6 months ago and he told me the story. And he actually saw a Congressional Management Foundation presentation on building relationships with lawmakers. And I was the presenter, and I said, "Look, you can set up meetings with your elected officials. You just got to pick up the phone and call them in their district office and ask for it." And he was skeptical, but he saw some other panelists say the same thing, so he did it. Bob has now met with every member of his congressional delegation in Massachusetts. He's been to Washington four times. He's, you know, again, he's not a big lobbyist. He's not a contributor to campaigns. He's just a John Q. Public. And if you Google Bob O'Hara and Congressional Management Foundation, or Bob O'Hara and No Labels, you'll see his 10-minute video on how he does it. And you can also read about him in our case study that we referenced in our on our website, congressfoundation.org, in the citizen-centric advocacy report. So part of the bringing down the volume, part of bringing down the noise, and frankly being a little more civil to one another, is engaging one another and engaging elected officials in the same way you would want to be treated, in the same way you would talk to your doctor or your neighbor or a friend. And that actually is very effective. Members of Congress find that very helpful to interacting with citizens.
So rather than roll in with 20, 25 people in the media and then just jam up their time for an hour and a half and yell at them about how they work for you, probably not super effective at getting their ear?
No. Well, it'll get their ear, but they'll ignore it. I mean, they'll in the end, they're not, you know, they're not.
Because people are being told to do that. That seems to be the latest, the latest instruction out there is, you know, go waste their time.
Yeah, because, like jam phone lines and stuff.
Yeah, go waste their time because they do not understand what really goes on in a district office that people actually you know, need staff to help them. They think we're just, you know, people are just there to get yelled at.
Well, some people are encouraging that, and that's obviously not good advice. But even some of the newer guides that came out on the left of center, there's this group called Indivisible.
Right.
And they actually put out a pretty good 26-page guide. And I point out to people that the word protest is in that guide five times. The word polite is referenced seven times. And I think people are picking and choosing, like, oh, bring a sign. Well, yeah, but it also says set up meetings with your elected officials in their district office. It says be prepared with a good question. And if you look at our work, we advise the same thing. And to plug myself a little bit and plug a book I wrote a book called Citizens Handbook to Influencing Elected Officials a few years ago. And it's about a 70-page guide. And you can Google it and look at it at Amazon or download it on Kindle. It's not that expensive. And that also gives the same kind of advice that we offer in our report on citizen-centric advocacy.
See, and I think that's super, super useful. You know, do things that work, not because you want them to see you coming and think, oh, there's so-and-so. You know, I wonder what they're doing today. Instead of,
Yeah.
Run away.
Panic.
That's pretty great. You also have Media Relations Handbook for Agencies, Associations, Nonprofits, and Congress. You have actually printed quite a bit of stuff. Is that all on the site? I didn't.
No, that's actually a different publisher, but it's available on Amazon as well. If you're a budding press secretary and want to learn how to deal with the media, that was a book I wrote some years ago. And
or if you're the media and want to learn how they're going to deal with you.
yeah. It's things have changed a little bit from social media since I wrote that book, and I'm not as much an expert on social dealing with the media and social media. I am obviously knowledgeable about using social media to interact with Congress, as I referenced earlier. But I think the thing to take away from this is there's a quote that people often forget from Thomas Jefferson about citizen engagement, in which he said, "We in America are not a government by the majority. We're a government by the majority who participate." And I think one of the things the Tea Party demonstrated in 2009 and 2010 is they got out there and participated. And they may not have had an impact on the legislative agenda that the Democrats and President Obama was putting forward. In fact, they had no impact at all. But they did have an impact on the election. If they had changed tactics, they might have had an impact on the legislative process. What's happening right now is Indivisible and some of the left of center are taking a page out of that playbook, and they are doing the same thing, and they may or may not, but may come to the same results, where they'll have no impact on the legislative agenda, but they may have an election impact in 2018. We won't know until that comes around. And we won't know about how long this movement goes. I mean, one of the things that's interesting is it's now 5 months into sort of the anti-Trump movement since late January when it started. Well, the Tea Party movement really lasted about 8 months. It went from about April of 2009 to early 2010. And then when the Affordable Care Act was signed into law, we looked at town hall meetings in February of 10, and they were nowhere near the numbers in August of 09. Well, we just looked at last week's town hall meetings, and there was an average of 230 people going to town hall meetings last week. That's 5 months into this. If this movement is sustained through the year, and we're looking at November town hall meetings with the same number, that will mean that this movement will be the most significant citizen engagement movement since the Vietnam War.
Wow.
That would be pretty big, yeah. So we may be seeing something. I don't know yet. I'm not willing to say that yet, but I'm saying right now, you know, a lot of people are still coming out and they're still contacting Congress.
That's kind of great. Actually, you know, it's good people are, you know, learning something about it and becoming active. That's always a good thing. Complacency is kind of how we got into this mess. I guess I figured that out back in 2009. I thought, what has happened? Busy working, busy doing other things, and lifted my head up and thought, what the heck is going on? So I know that that does happen for folks, and it beats the heck out of just sitting home and throwing shoes at the television.
Indeed.
You know, it's not terribly effective. So give folks your website and how they can contact you again, and then we'll let you have your day.
Our website is congressfoundation.org, and you can look at the area and citizen engagement. Just click on that, and you'll see a lot of our research out there. You'll find the Citizen Advocates Toolkit, which we have created for citizens to get involved, interact with their members of Congress, and just be more effective in our democracy.
Nice. And Congressional Operations tab will give you some more factual information. Thanks for putting that out, by the way, and for all your hot tips. We learned a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brad. Have a great day. That has been Brad Fitch with the Congressional Management Foundation. We'll be back. We're talking about charter schools the second hour around here.
This is KCNR, 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State.
I know. It makes you want to laugh a little.
Huh? I know.
Community Talk Radio for the North State is KCNR Shasta Redding, where the news is brought to you by Wind River Resort and Casino. It's better at the river.
Regulators report an increase in drug abusers crushing the pills and injecting the drug intravenously. That's led to more overdoses along with more HIV and hepatitis cases from sharing dirty needles. It's the first time a drug maker's been asked to pull an opioid painkiller from the market. But the FDA says this drug is doing more harm than good. Some 2 million Americans are addicted to opioids. Almost 100 die every day from an overdose. I'm Jackie Quinn.
President Trump has hailed the opening of a new coal mine as proof that deregulation is helping to bring jobs back to the industry.
The miners of Pennsylvania, we're digging coal again. When I campaigned for president, I said that we would end the war on coal and put our incredible miners, and that's what you are, you're incredible, back to work.
In a video of the president's remarks played at the opening of the mine yesterday in Freedons, Pennsylvania, the president said the new mine reflects his efforts to reduce federal energy regulations. Corsa Coal Corporation will supply coal used in making steel, and that is expected to generate up to 100 full-time jobs. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is booming. It's up 101 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hey there. Here to tell you about some of the hottest deals happening at Lowe's. Save $100 on a Cobalt 227-piece standard and metric mechanics tool set, including a hard case, now for just $99. And power your next project with a Porter Cable 2-tool 20-volt cordless combo drill driver kit with soft case, now also just $99. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. Tool set offer valid 6/8 through 6/12. Drill driver offer valid through 6/23 while supplies last, U.S. only.
Greta is a drill instructor.
Move, move, move!
Yes, ma'am!
When it comes to training lean, mean, fighting machines, she doesn't mess around.
Drop and give me 3,000!
But when it comes to getting a mortgage, Greta's less confident.
I got nothing.
Fortunately for Greta, there's Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. It's simple, so she can understand the details and know she's getting the right mortgage. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Go to rocketmortgage.com today.
Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Germany is calling for diplomatic efforts to resolve the growing crisis in Qatar, which is accused by four of its Arab neighbors of funding terrorism.
Diplomatic moves to resolve or at least calm the crisis over Qatar have been intensifying in the past few days. Kuwait is leading efforts in the region, while even President Trump, who earlier backed the isolation of Qatar, has offered to help. Now Germany is seeking to initiate dialogue to stop the situation spiralling out of control and bringing a new level of volatility to a Middle East already in turmoil. But the pressure isn't slacking from the Saudis and other Arab states, who've now added almost 60 individuals and 12 institutions with links to Qatar to a terror list.
That is the BBC's Sebastian Usher reporting. The pound fell sharply after Britain's election saw the Conservatives lose their majority in Parliament. The British currency lost as much as 3 pennies against the U.S. dollar by this morning. More on these stories from townhall.com. Two men from Michigan and New York City were arrested after being tasked by a terrorist organization to look for potential targets in New York and Panama.
Samar El-Debek, 37, of Dearborn, Michigan, and Ali Qurani, 32, of the Bronx, were charged in Manhattan federal court with providing support to a terrorist organization. El-Debek was arrested June 1st in Livonia, Michigan. Qurani was arrested the same day in the Bronx. Both men were being held in New York City after court appearances. Authorities said the men tried to provide support to Hezbollah's Islamic Jihad organization after receiving military training from the group. Keith Peters reporting.
The winning bid for a private lunch with billionaire Warren Buffett may top several million dollars in an online auction to benefit a California homeless charity. It wraps up tonight for the 18th consecutive year. Buffett is auctioning off a lunch to raise money for the Glide Foundation. More details at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
Are you a trivia geek? Think you know pop culture? Are you ready for a challenge?
Yeah? No? Maybe? Whatever. It's fun, and that's all that matters. Grab your friends and head down to Wind River Resort and Casino and play the River Trivia Challenge. Live every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock inside Overtime Lounge. Test your knowledge and show your skills by playing the River Trivia Challenge for a chance to win free slot play and fantastic prizes. For official rules and details, log on to WindRiver.com. Trivia is better at the river. Join us at Wind River Resort and Casino's Overtime Lounge as we make your Wednesdays more entertaining with Comedy Night. Enjoy a comical knee-slapping good time with live comedians every Wednesday. Show starts at 8. What would be great after a long day at the office? Drinks, laughs, hoots and giggles with friends, and a live comedy show every Wednesday night. Enjoy the humor with different comedians every week. No cover charge. For all the details, log on to WindRiver.com. Must be 21 to attend this hilarious event. Comedy is better at the river.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Or maybe not Carl and Linda Bott.
Yeah.
Maybe Aaron Ryan and
Sam. As Linda.
Sam's doing his best Linda today.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Maybe you could raise it up a register.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's nice. Your mom will be so excited.
Oh, yes. So proud.
She'll be like,
mom,
he did what?
I impersonated Linda on air.
Awesome. As long as she didn't dress like her, we're good.
Hey, you don't know that.
That's what radio's all about.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So do we have, like, weather and things we have to talk about, or... I mean, we can all look out the window. Are we going to just go with the look out the window?
Well, we can read it if you want.
And the weather is outside if you want it, if you miss it.
It's currently 59 degrees here in the downtown studios. Today we have a 20% chance of showers in the day, a high of 76, a low of 53, mostly cloudy tonight. On Saturday, we have a 50% chance of showers, a high of 71, a low of 53. On Sunday, we have a 50% chance of showers with a high of 65, a low of 53, and on Monday, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 78 and a low of 56.
And by the end of the week, we'll be orbiting 2 miles from the sun, and it'll be 150 degrees. So there you have it. Okay, I'm just guessing. Seems like that always happens. It's all nice like this, and I think, oh, good, it's not going to be one of those summers. Oh, then it is.
And then it is.
And then it is. It's just when I get happy about it, so I'm holding that off, that excitement. Mm-hmm.
So this hour, last hour we spoke with Brad Fitch from the Congressional Management Foundation, learned a lot of fun things, and if you missed it, you ought to go back to the archive and find that at KCNR1460.com, right? No AM? Hold on. I'm blowing it. Am I right? Am I right? Yeah. KCNR1460.com. I always want to add the AM. No AM. All right, so this hour we're going to shift gears, and we're chatting with Laura Kerr. Laura serves as the Managing Director of Regional Advocacy for the Charter Schools Association. No, California Charter Schools Association. I knew there's another C. CCSA. She works with charter school leaders in Northern California, including Shasta, Tehama, and Lassen counties. She has a degree in political science from Humboldt State University and studied public policy administration at California State University, Sacramento. And let's see, I'm an English graduate of Humboldt State University. Sam is currently a...
Lumberjack.
Yeah, and Sam is a student at HSU currently.
Studying political science and maybe a minor in history, I'm not sure.
Huh, so here we all are.
Yeah.
Some alum and future alum. So, so if you think that all the people over there are just, you know, nutty...
They're not.
Here are three of us, just regular people who have coalesced accidentally. So
that's right.
We're chatting about charter school, and I guess I'm going to skip to the bottom of this. We'll fill in the blanks as we go on the bio you sent me, but I was surprised to know that in Shasta County there are over 3,600 students in charter schools, nearly 15% of all the students in public school in the county. And Sam is one of those students, interestingly enough.
Yes, I graduated at New Tech in 2015.
So, I don't know anything about charter school exactly, because they really didn't have charter school when my kids were going to school. So, we have a know-nothing, knows a lot, and went to charter school. So, what can you do in the middle of that, Laura?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not surprised that your kids didn't go to charter schools or have an opportunity to. The charter school law in California is pretty new, 1993. The first schools opened up, and now we're statewide about 10% of total public education. It's a little bit higher in Lassen County. It's almost 15% in Lassen County. So there's a lot of families choosing charter options. There's about more than a dozen charter schools in Shasta County. But statewide, we have 1,200 charters in California and 600,000 students. So it's a big deal.
It is a big deal. Do you have any idea how many public schools there are? Because I could have looked that up, but I didn't think of it until just now.
I don't know off the top of my head, but I know there are 6 million students in public school in California.
Wow.
So
that's a lot.
Yeah, no kidding. And, just give some kudos to your sister and brother-in-law. They're an Air Force family, so thank them for their service on our behalf. And they chose to homeschool their four kids. So when you say they're homeschooling, is that part of a charter, or is that literally homeschooling, which is a totally separate thing?
No, they are partnered with a charter school, which means they have access to a credentialed teacher and to high-quality curriculum. And the kids do participate in state standardized testing, which is part of the accountability piece of charters. So, it's been a really great flexible option for them. Their kids are, all different ages from 10 to 4, and they're able to meet each of their needs exactly where they are. And who better than a parent to know what the kids' needs are? So that's what homeschool is a really great option, and it's just one of the options that parents have under charter.
Sure, and they don't have to literally have a teaching credential and be able to invent that all themselves. They can be almost like their own small public school at home.
That's right. But they do partner with a credentialed teacher to problem solve and to get ideas and to make sure that the kids are on pace. And again, to make sure that they have it's really a partnership, that they have a partner that they can work with as they chart their own course.
Nice. I know my sister did that. I just don't know the details of it. She was also down in the Sacramento area, and that became a really important option for them because my brother-in-law worked in the restaurant management industry. So he was literally going to work when the kids got home from school, and they just didn't see him. And then they had a health situation, needed to do a little more focus. Everybody was running a different direction. And so while the kids were all in elementary school, they decided to homeschool. Oh, my gosh, it made a massive difference for their family.
Yeah, and that's really what it's about. It's about meeting families where they're at, providing some flexibility, and being responsive to parents' needs. So I think that's why charters have been so popular.
Sure, and then some of them are actual buildings, like New Tech that you went to for high school.
Yeah.
They're elementary. Are they middle schools and high school, or is it like elementary includes middle? Do charters have
They're all different. Do you want to talk about Anderson New Tech a little bit?
Yeah, New Tech is actually out of an old Safeway building that they gutted and then turned into a school. And that's a high school that they get a lot of kids from homeschools and rural areas and areas that are not necessarily like in that.
And like, is it ninth grades 9 through 12?
Yeah, it's just a normal high school. Like instead of going to maybe another, you know, like Anderson High or Enterprise, you would go to New Tech. Just right out of like eighth grade, like anybody else, but it's a charter.
And you told me they play sports though with Anderson High School.
Yes, they have a partnership,
which is good because their playground is a parking lot.
Yes, yes,
yeah. Because when I lived down there, it was a furniture store.
Yeah,
so
it was a furniture store, and then it was a Safeway, and now it's a high school.
Nice. How many kids go there?
When I was there, it was between, when I started, it was about 300, and they go between 300, 600, I don't know current numbers, but it's kind of a normal,
yeah,
like not as big as some
normal small school.
It's as many as they can accommodate with their building.
Okay.
So.
And Laura, when you, work with all these schools, what do you actually do? I know it says advocacy and all that, but what does that mean?
What does that mean, right?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I help teams of people start new charter schools, which is political in that you need a local school board or a county office of education or in some rare cases, the state board of education to approve a new charter petition. So that's part of what makes charter schools public schools. They have to be approved by a locally elected board. And that, you know, takes some skill. A lot of people who start charter schools are educators, parents, community leaders, they just want to do the business of, you know, teaching and learning and doing great things, innovative things for kids. And so we come alongside them and help them get through the authorizing process. Authorizing means just approved by a school board. And then I also help solve problems that keep school leaders or prevent them from, again, focusing on kids and delivering a great education. So that could be accessing school facilities. That's one of the big challenges for charters. It could also look like going back to your school district, your authorizer for charter renewal. Another thing that makes charters different from traditional public schools is every 5 years about you have to go back to the school board and prove that you're delivering on your promise to the public and you're held accountable for student outcomes. And if you're not, then you can be closed. So we have to make, it's a high stakes vote. We have to make our best presentation there. And so I work with school leaders doing that. And then when there are challenges that are facing multiple charter schools in a community, then I work with charter leaders to solve problems, to break down barriers. And really that's why I'm interested in talking to you and your audience today, because I think I'd like to shine a spotlight on some of the not great practices or things that are happening in Shasta County that are undermining charter families. And really, the local school districts and some of the leaders there are aggressively trying to undermine parent choice, and I think we should talk about that.
Nice. Well, we shall. And you can find out more information about the California Charter Schools Association on their website, which is very easy, ccsa.org. How simple is that? Doesn't get easier. Sure. We'll be back with Laura Kerr. You are listening to not Linda and Carl. I would be playing Carl.
And I'm Linda.
Hit it, Linda.
All right. This is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State.
Community talk radio for the North State is KCNR Shasta Redding, where the news is brought to you by Wind River Resort and Casino. It's better at the river.
We're Billy and Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, proud to announce that they've been named a SunPower Elite Dealer.
How did they achieve that status? Well, by having 90% or greater customer satisfaction on installation and by completing two advanced certification courses in topics like the design and installation of a high-efficiency SunPower system.
Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite Dealer because of their complete commitment to customer satisfaction. So give Powerhouse Solar a call today and get the best solar panels in the world, SunPower, installed by the best local solar company in the North State, Powerhouse Solar.
With solar energy, you won't have to worry about those energy rate increases or surcharges. And you can get solar now for as little as $75 a month with no money down.
There's no better time than right now, so consider Powerhouse Solar for your solar installation today. Call them at 275-5600. Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite Dealer, has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau.
So for solar as little as $75 a month, call Powerhouse Solar today or log on to powerhousesolar.com.
Get ready to rock the Cascade Theater, June 15th to the 24th, with the Tony Award-nominated Broadway musical Rock of Ages. Relive the 80s with the music of Styx, Journey, Pat Benatar, Twisted Sister, and more. Get your tickets to Rock of Ages and the VIP after party at the Cascade Box Office, 243-8877, or cascadetheater.org.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well-versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
Mark, I can't wait for this month's second Tuesday dinner at Peter Chu's Sky Room. It's a great Chinese restaurant, and I am obsessed with their cashew chicken.
I know what you mean. I love the variety of options, so I always order something new. Peter Chu's offers many different options, including Mandarin, Szechuan, and Hunan cuisine. Please join us on Tuesday, June 13th from 5 to 9 p.m. at Peter Chu's on Airport Drive as they graciously donate a portion of the proceeds to Haven Humane to help care for the animals and work toward placing them in forever homes.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
And we are back.
Yeah, let's not talk about how I was listening to this song once and I got a huge speeding ticket between here and Eureka.
It's poetic.
I really liked that song and I had just gotten a new transmission and it was so great and I was going to be early for my meeting and I'm just...
And your day got ruined.
I'm driving over 299 and I'm like headed down the hill into this fog bank and like this highway patrol pops out like of the fog bank going toward and I'm like, ooh, good, at least he's not behind me. That was when I learned that they could radar you going like both ways.
Life lessons.
Kind of a while back.
On the fly.
Every time I hear that song, I'm like, that was an expensive song. random thoughts. Okay, so Laura, what's going on here locally? Since we're on local radio, we might as well blow open local issues, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and you live out of town, so there's no ramification for you.
For you.
Right.
Live the dream.
There's always ramifications, but that's okay. We're here to talk about the truth and what's going on. So interestingly enough, Shasta County has been ground zero for a state precedent-setting court case around charter schools and where they can locate their resource centers. Some of this is going to get a little technical, so help me, Aaron, if I get a little...
We'll let Sam help you since he actually went to a charter school.
Yes,
I can't even pick one out of a lineup other than I think it's smaller than a regular school. All right.
Yeah. Well, that's helpful. Actually, let's just start with some facts about charter schools.
Okay.
So we're all on the same page. So charter schools are public schools. They're tuition free and open to all. They have to serve all students that come, so they're not like a private school. If you have a student who's severely disabled or has special needs, a private school doesn't have to take them on. A charter school absolutely does, just like any traditional public school. They're also there to give parents choices, right? So we're able to design schools that meet kids' unique needs and unique educational settings. And as I mentioned before, they get some additional freedom and flexibility in exchange for accountability and results. So they make a promise in their charter. They're all different. They have different missions, kind of like nonprofits. They have different missions and visions for what they're going to do. But what's the same is they all are held accountable for getting results for kids. And if they're not getting results, they can be closed. So that's what makes charter schools different. Like traditional public schools, sometimes the education happens in a building. Sometimes the education happens at home. The schools that I went to, you know, there's a traditional schoolhouse. You go to school from 8 to 3. The school is really, they get paid based on you being in the classroom. So if I was going to miss school or my parents pulled me out or we went on vacation and I was sick, you really knew that the school cared about you being there because they would call you, they'd want a note from your doctor, they wanted to make sure you were there. And it's because they get paid based on you physically attending the school.
Yeah, that was very common at my school. It was like, come to school,
yeah,
or we're out of money.
Right. And I mean, obviously, they do want you to get an education, but, you know, there is a fiscal impact to your lack of attendance. We knew some folks, they traveled extensively, and they wanted to get their kids' assignments for, you know, a couple weeks at a shot. They did scuba diving around the world, and these kids had the opportunity to go on these great trips with their family. The parents were fully capable of helping them catch up with their work, and both the kids were really smart. But the school went berserk because they were going to be gone. And so you got pretty clear that it wasn't always just about the education.
Right, right. So that's one way. And then the other way is what we call a non-classroom-based school setting where you can either be at home school or school looks kind of like college. So there might be a building where kids come to just for the classes that they're signed up for. But then they're off campus doing internships or working from home independently or doing other things in the community. So it's a whole different model, education finance model, where the public schools get paid based on the work that's produced by the students, not based on the actual
attendance.
Time that they sit in the school.
Not the bits,
yeah.
The butts in the seats.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. So this court case, which is called Shasta Union High School District Shasta Secondary Homeschool versus Anderson High School District, basically had to do with the geographic location of resource centers, these college-like resource centers that non-classroom-based schools have. And the court case reinterpreted the law in a way that was counter to what the California Department of Education and over 200 charter schools had been interpreting the law. So basically, the rule of thumb had been that you could operate a resource center, so have one of these college-like sites within the district and the county where you were operating, where you were authorized, and adjacent counties. So if you're authorized in Shasta County, you could also have a learning center in Tehama or Lassen or Siskiyou, all around there. In February, the Third Court of Appeals took up this case and totally changed the landscape for charter schools across California by saying, no, you can only locate this college-like resource center within the district where you're authorized or adjacent county. You can't be in the county but not in your district.
Oh.
A little confusing. But let me give you an example of that. Sh- Shasta Secondary Homeschool was authorized by Shasta Union High School District, and they had a learning center down by your high school in Anderson High School District.
Yeah.
But it wasn't across the border in Tehama. The school district sued the charter. And actually, the charter prevailed at the local court, but then when it went on appeal, the district prevailed, and then the Supreme Court decided not to take it up. So what that means is schools that had been operating legally under the guidance of the California Department of Education, you know, for a decade, all of a sudden were out of compliance and had to make a plan to come into compliance with the law. So that's kind of the environment, the framework. The law changed, and these schools that were doing what they thought was okay to do had to make a new plan. And again, this law is affecting over 150,000 students in 200 charter schools across the state. So, you know, people are having to figure out what the next steps are here. And really, there's two choices. You can get reauthorized by the district where your school is physically located, or you can close your school, which has a really negative impact on students and families. So in most places, school districts are working with charters to create a plan to move forward, right? They're putting together transition plans, they're working together, and they're trying to protect parents and families and frankly, teachers from having to close these schools. Things have been a little bit different, though, in Shasta County. In Shasta County, the superintendents and the publicly elected school boards have been very aggressive in trying to leverage this case as an excuse to close three independent charter schools that are serving almost a third of the students in Shasta County, almost 1,000 kids.
And the basis of closing, well, how about this? We need to take a really quick break, and then we'll come back and get the skinny on, if you ask them, why would they say they were doing it? Because I'm always curious, you know, how does this get pitched? We're not hearing a lot about it, and I want to make sure folks know about this. I'm sure the parents all do. Bummer.
Yeah.
So,
why is it happening?
Yeah, surprise. Happy summer, huh? You get to upend your whole world. All righty. Yeah. We'll be back with Laura Kerr. Laura, oh, sure, easy for me to say now that I closed her bio. I was going to read something. Laura. She has 10 years of experience with California charter school policy and advocacy. She helped expand public school choices for parents by providing strategic advice to teams starting new charters. And she did some other stuff, too, but we'll talk about that later.
All right, and this is KNCR, 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
Nice job, Linda.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Simpson University will prepare you to be a teacher in just 12 months. Start summer, fall, or spring and fill the need for the next generation of educators. Many Simpson students have landed teaching jobs before completing their credential program. We'll show you how you can accomplish this and receive an instructional iPad too. Simpson University offers scholarships, grants, and financial aid to help you achieve your educational goals. Call 1-888-9-SIMPSON or go online to simpsonu.edu/credential for more details.
You've heard me say this quite often.
As dealers, we all pay the same for these vehicles. The difference is what we sell them for. There's a reason I keep telling you this. It's because it's true. Because as dealers, we do all pay the same price for these vehicles. So come to Crown Motors and you'll understand why I say the difference is what we sell them for. Come see us or visit us online at crownmotorsreading.com.
Two young men looking to impress two young women invite them to meet their rich auntie at tea. When auntie cancels at the last minute, their male friend steps in and the laughter begins. Riverfront Playhouse presents the comedy Charlie's Aunt by Brandon Thomas, directed by Maria Drake. May 13th through June 10th, Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2. Tickets available at the Cascade Theater box office, by phone at 243-8877 or online at cascadetheater.org.
This is Joe McKenna, CEO of CloudWise Academy and your host of the Digital Revolution Show. If you own a business, run a business, or want to start a business, then this show is for you. I'll pull back the green curtain exposing how the internet is impacting your business and give you the rules and tools to take control. If it's related to the internet and matters to business, we'll be talking about it here. Tune in every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. to the Digital Revolution Show on KCNR 1460.
Oh, yeah. I like it.
You know they say that in the song.
Do they? That shows you how young
he's
I am.
He's 20. What does he know? I knew it was like an accident.
I just
hold
like
on,
the
we gotta
song.
Listen. Here you go.
Oh, it's this song.
I like it.
Wow.
There you go. We were laughing on the break because Sam called it KNCR, and he's like, it's KCNR, and he's like, oh, yeah, that doesn't go in the alphabet together, and I'm like, yeah, like Casey and the Sunshine Band, and he had that blank look. Therefore,
it's not my fault.
There was some Sunshine Band music being played there. Sometimes the breaks are the best part.
Yeah, they're fun.
Yeah, we should, play those. That's really where the fun's happening.
I'll forget to turn off the mics next time.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done that before. Actually, it doesn't really go all that well. Oh, my gosh. All right, so Laura, we've been goofing off. Let's get serious again. Okay, so you have 1,000 kids that are going to get booted out of their charter school. And the excuse by the – is it all the districts in Shasta County? I don't really understand how the – so is it one district that charters each – school, right? You're like under the Anderson School District or under the Reading School District. Is that how it goes?
I think some school districts like Gateway have multiple charters, or Shasta Union High School District have at least one. So yeah, in Shasta County, there's a bunch of small elementary districts, and
okay.
Some of them authorize it, and then also the county office of it.
Because I think we have like 20... one or something different school districts. So just out of curiosity, if somebody says, hey, we're not going to charter you anymore, ABC Charter School, can you say, oh, okay, forget you, we're going to go with, can you district change? Can you district swap? Or do they not go against each other that way?
Well, it is hard. I mean, so if you're authorized by a district on appeal, if you're authorized by a district and the district turns you down, you can appeal to the county, and then you can appeal to the state. California's charter law requires that school districts approve charters that come to them unless they can make written findings of fact around five key areas. And I won't go into the areas, but it's very specific, the reasons you can deny a charter. The Ed Code also says that it's the intent of the legislature that charter schools be established, and that they're an integral part of the public education system, and that they provide an important opportunity for parents and teachers to be involved in schools in a different way, and that they should be improving public education for all kids, including and especially kids who are not being served well or are low achieving in traditional schools.
I know you don't want to go into all the nitty gritty, but what's the ballpark on these five things? Like, I'm assuming fiscal soundness.
Yeah. So one is, are you demonstrably unlikely to implement the program?
Okay,
that's
so
one reason.
You're going to be a faux charter school.
Just, right. Like, if it's you and I know a lot about charter schools, but I don't know a lot about how to do teaching and learning, I probably wouldn't be a good candidate for a team member to start up a new school. So do you have the experience necessary to run a school? You might have a great idea on a charter, but really of how to do a school, but do you have the experience to actually pull it off? That's one reason. Another one is a sound educational program. You know, is what you're proposing consistent with what we know to be effective with kids? So are you proposing something totally wacky, like we're going to have kids watch TV for 6 hours a day, or like that would be a no-go.
Sure.
And then another one is it a comprehensive plan? So you can't just submit a 20-page plan. Today, a charter petition is usually at least 100 pages or more in areas where there's lots of acrimony or where it's pretty contentious. Charters can be up to 500 pages with
wow.
their petition and their appendices, right? That's a big, it's a really big, thick document. And then the other two is you have to have a required number of parent and teacher signatures, right? You need to know that there's kids who are interested, parents who are interested in the school, teachers interested in teaching there. And then there's a certain number of affirmations. So it's specific, but there's also some interpretation that can go into the thing, into determining, is it a reasonably comprehensive document? Is it a,
There's some subjectivity involved, I guess.
Exactly.
And,
I think
is
that
what's happening now? Like they're taking the gray
yeah.
area and filling it in?
Well, let me tell you, what's really happening right
now tell
is
us that.
I think the local districts are sensing an opportunity to get rid of their competition. And rather than doing what was intended in charter law was for all schools to improve because there's competition in the education space, they're using their authority, their disproportionate power, frankly, to close, to do things that would make it so that these schools could no longer operate. So in other areas of the state where the law has changed and these non-classroom-based schools are serving kids, superintendents and charter schools are working together to make a plan to make them compliant, to get them to compliance. And they're not threatening to shut down schools. In Shasta County, though, the superintendents, particularly at Shasta Union High School District, Redding Elementary School District, Anderson High School District, are aggressively sending letters, you know, from attorneys and attending public school board meetings and in other districts other than their own. In order to prevent these schools from getting legally authorized under the new law change, why are they doing this? Well, a quick look at, for example, the Shasta Union High School District budget, their second interim report, shows that they are deficit spending. They are deficit spending in the tune of $600,000 a year this year. Next year, they project to be $1.4 million deficit. And by 2 years from now, they're projecting to run a $2.9 million budget deficit, primarily because of their salaries and their benefits, their retirement benefits that they're paying to their employees. So, unfortunately...
Well, I guess I'm confused because I know the federal government prints its own money, but do school districts print their own money now, too? Like, has that happened sometime while I was sleeping? How can they do that?
Well, you and I have to balance our budgets in our household. I don't know how these districts get away with it. I mean, luckily there's public accounting, so you and I can go to their website and look it up and see that they have deficits now, projecting deficits. When we have budget deficits in our household, we have to do something different. We have to make changes. Unfortunately, these superintendents, rather than taking responsibility for their own problems, are using this court case as to leverage against parents and kids to, in the hopes of closing these charter schools and betting that some or all of those parents will then enroll back in their districts and bring the money that follows them with them, which is really bad logic, right? Not
yeah.
only is it anti-parent and anti-choice, but these parents have already decided that they don't want what the district's offering for whatever reason. And so it's just not likely that they will return back to the districts afterwards. But that seems to be, I mean, I just don't know what other reason they would have to go after these schools so aggressively. I don't get it.
Yeah. Sorry, we had to go into a moment of silence. We had to go into the cone of silence. Sam also doesn't know what that is. But but I will show him the video later. I had to go to the cone of silence to do a little choking, but we were listening.
But even if they do this and close it all down and those students all do come back, it doesn't really seem sustainable if they're running like a super long deficit, like long term. So even if they get what they want, is it like all their problems go away and all their money comes back and everything's good? Or what does that look
no,
like?
No, I mean, I think what's really interesting here in Shasta County, too, is that there seems to be a real disconnect between the publicly elected school boards and the accountability that that is inherent to that and what the superintendents are doing. Right. Like, I just don't get a sense that folks like Mike Gordon, who's a board president at Shasta Union High School District, who's up for re-election in 2018, and who recently presided over a school board meeting where they considered a petition, Phoenix Charter Academy, which would have continued the operation of the school through the summer and through for another 5 years. He says on his website that he's all about collaboration, but during the public hearing and the final action for this charter, there was over 100 parents packing the boardroom. They cut off public testimony. They didn't hear from all the parents. They didn't even hear from most of the parents. They didn't even hear from the board president of the charter school. They took no questions. They didn't ask any questions of the superintendent or the attorney representing the superintendent. They accepted findings of fact that were specious and based on stuff that wasn't related to those reasons that we just talked about why a charter could be approved. And they just, and the kicker was that they said, we support charter schools, but just not this one. And they voted to shut it down. Uh-huh. They voted to not approve that school. I mean, the parents in that room were so disappointed. And the leadership of that school, though, is resolved to find a way to make sure they can continue to serve students, even though the district is going to, you know, doesn't really care, obviously doesn't care.
But it crushed their summer program, though. So those kids could have had educational opportunity through the summer, and that killed it for them?
Well, the leadership with Academy of Personalized Learning, you know, they're trying everything they can and are actually partnering with another school district in the county to see if they can get another school board in the county to put parents and students first by authorizing a charter that will allow them to continue to operate while they appeal. And it's a lot of rigmarole just to work around this school board that isn't being responsive to parents' needs and isn't being held accountable. I mean, again, the board president, Mike Wharton, should be asking questions about the budget like you were asking me. Like, what kind of decisions do we need to make about our budget and focus on cleaning up their own house instead of...
Going after somebody else and say, right, we need more. We need more information. All right, but we have to take a really quick break. This is the part where Sam plays Linda.
And this is KCNR, 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
Just like Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Yeah.
Because that's the way Sam likes it.
It's reported vehicle collision repair technology is advancing faster than medicine. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Alan Gordon, CEO of Coachmaster, is doing his part to provide the North Valley with the latest technology. He has added another frame machine using ultrasound computer measuring. Ultrasound can measure the frame and produce a printed document to verify any damage before repair is started.
When repair is completed, an after document is printed for verification. Finally, wheel alignment is by our 3D imaging system. It produces the most accurate wheel alignment and also verifies frame accuracy, providing additional confidence for the vehicle owner. Three lasers, ultrasound measuring, infrared, 3D imaging. This sounds like NASA, but no, it's the best equipped collision repair shop in the North Valley. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Summer's On Us sales event continues at Redding Kia, and the deals are so good.
Today, get 0% financing for 66 months and make no payments for 5 months on all new 2017 Kia Sorentos, Optimas, Souls, and Fortes.
And Kia Motors will make your first two payments.
That's right. Summer's On Us continues at Redding Kia, where every vehicle sold comes with complimentary lifetime oil changes and America's best warranty.
If you're in the market for a new car anytime within the next 5 months, come visit Redding Kia today.
0% financing for 66 months, no payments for 5 months, and Kia Motors makes your first two payments.
Take a test drive, make a great deal, have a great summer.
On approval of credit plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, any dealer document processing charge, and any emission testing fee. Must finance through Kia Motors Finance for Summers on Us offer. 0% for 66 months is $15.16 per $1,000 financed.
Sale ends July 10th. Redding Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue, Redding. Facebook, YouTube.
RedingKia.com.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
Hi, my name is Justin with Vivid Details. Auto detailing should be a part of your maintenance, not just a luxury. Here at Vivid Details, we make your car feel and look like new. We specialize in paint correction, headlight restoration, scratch removal, carpet and upholstery shampooing, and much, much more. We give your car that new car shine every time. Remember, not all detailers have experience, equipment, or training to make your vehicle look and smell like new, but we do. We are fully licensed and insured, so give us a call today at 530-604-7380 or come visit our new shop located at 30 Hilltop Drive.
Just a small town girl, living in a lonely world. He took the midnight train going anywhere.
And we are back.
That's Journey, by the way.
Oh, I knew that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I went to middle school, so I know what that is.
And you'll be happy that we played the clip from the original Get Smart with the Cone of Silence. So now Sam will get that joke.
We edumacated him on the Cone of Silence. This is why I'm not allowed to run a charter school. I would run, Aaron's Random Charter School. We would just get random information. They would be really well-versed in their random.
Fun facts.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so the school district is in the hole and estimating to run in the hole, what, how many million? Nine?
2.9
yeah, okay.
By 18-19, so three years out. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a really lot. It's like a staggering amount considering where we live.
Yeah. Something else is a staggering
That's
amount.
That's a lot even in California.
I think the amount of money that the school districts too are spending on legal fees to pursue these charters. I think with that Phoenix Charter Academy, the findings of fact, the alleged facts that were cooked up by a notorious anti-charter law firm, I think the findings of fact were like 30 pages long. I mean, if you just think about what you pay an attorney per hour to write something like that, that's just taxpayer dollars that are being flushed down the toilet, again, to obstruct parent choice in the hopes that they're going to be able to weasel their way out of their financial mess by increasing their enrollment by closing charters. It's really, really disappointing. And frankly, I have to say, they have already been successful. So New Day Academy, which is one of the schools that is impacted by this, a really beloved homeschool for the region. They're projected to serve next year 480 students.
Wow.
That's
a lot of kids.
Group of students. Yeah. They have decided that they're going to close their learning center in Lassen because they have been getting harassing letters. They've been getting threatened. And rather than, in order to protect the program for where the majority of the kids are, they've decided to just throw in the towel there. And I think it's really, really sad. Really, these school board members need to be held accountable, right, for both the money they're spending on legal fees, for the fact that they're not balancing their own budgets, and for the impact they're having on kids and families.
Yeah, no kidding. That's okay, so the parents can do what now?
Yeah.
Of these schools?
Yeah.
Like what actions?
Are you guys having like secret meetings you want to let us know? You want to let us in on?
Well, I mean, I think parents have a lot of power, especially when they get together to take action. So the first thing they need to do is just get educated on what's happening. And, it's not fun, but do the research on what happened with the court case and how their schools are being impacted. The main schools that are affected right now are the Academy of Personalized Learning, Northern Summit Academy, and New Day Academy. And again, that represents about 1,000 students. Parents need to be coming together and doing some research, and then they need to be going to these school board meetings. I said for the Phoenix Charter Academy petition, there were more than 100 parents and families in the room. I'm sure that was probably the most people that school board had seen in a room in a long time.
Yeah.
Right? So it doesn't take a lot for folks to come together and to ask some really poignant questions. I know, kudos to the parents at New Day Academy. They were at a school board meeting where a local elementary district was taking up one of these charters that was trying to get authorized in order to comply with this law. And when these three superintendents showed up from other districts, from the Shasta Union High School District, Anderson High School District, and Reading Elementary District, it was the parents that asked some really great questions, like, why are you here, Jim Clooney from Shasta Union High School District? Why are you here, Superintendent Rick Foss? Why are you here, Superintendent Tim Azevedo? Why are you coming out to another district that has the authority to grant a charter? Why are you here to obstruct parent choice? It's very unusual and really aggressive to have that group of superintendents go to another school district and threaten them about chartering a New Day Academy or preventing them from complying with this new change in the law.
Yeah,
the parents asked the question. The parents said, we pay your salaries. You're using taxpayer dollars. Why are you doing this?
Yeah, and as far as I know, New Day Academy is having really good learning outcomes, like for the students that were in it.
That's right. I mean, here's the thing. Charter schools that are not performing academically should be closed, right? I agree with folks. I mean, that's the whole promise of of charter schools. You get freedom and flexibility in exchange for results, and if you're not performing, then you should be closed. But this is not about that. This is about school districts that are leveraging their considerable power in order to fix their financial problems rather than taking responsibility for them. No one is talking about student outcomes. You're the first one who's brought it up.
Wow,
our charter school student, right? Nobody is talking about the outcomes for kids or
No kidding.
How kids are performing. Yeah.
Yeah,
missing.
Even like when I was going to high school, that was something that the staff would talk to the students about very regularly. So it's kind of surprising to me that this, like, the things I'm saying are not coming out very regularly from other people.
Yeah, you would think that would have to be the...
That's always been on our minds. Like, that's always, like, how is this working? How is this helping? Stuff like that. And that's not just me. That's people that I graduated with talk like that. So, like,
Yeah, so what are the grown-ups doing?
Yeah, like, what are you guys doing? yeah, especially if they're having, like, good learning outcomes, you know, like, the goal is to educate students, not necessarily to run in the black as a school district. It's, like, they have a job. So I think that that's really interesting.
Yeah. So just back to what parents can do, I think what we saw with New Day is that parents coming together and asking questions about taxpayer dollars, student outcomes, parent choice, and really doing the research, too, about who's sitting on these school boards. I did a little bit quick back of the quick math or quick analysis of the last couple school board elections. Many of these folks are running unopposed. In 2018 at Shasta Union High School District, Mike Wharton, the board president, Tammy Quigley, and Constance Peeble are all up for re-election. Right now is a great time for parents to
run
go
for
to
school board.
Meetings.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Run for school board. Learn more about where these folks stand on charter. It's easy for you to say that you support charter schools in theory, but when your vote say something different, when you're actually voting against parents and families, then something's not lining up there and the public should be asking questions. So, you know, 2018 is not that far away.
Yeah.
And it's we are happy to work with folks who are interested in learning more about what it takes to run for office, what it takes to run and win.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay. So you guys could be of help. So we have about half a minute here. And okay, so if someone was interested, they're thinking, yeah, you know what? I'm mad my kid's school's getting closed and they're not listening and all that stuff. How would be the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can email me at lkerr@ccsa.org or lkerr@ccsaadvocates.org. That's our C4. That's our political
L-K-E-R-R at what? CCSA Advocates?
.org.
And I posted both of those on the chat. So if you're driving or doing something else and you can't do that, the chat history actually is posted online at kcnr1460.com for you. And you can always reach out to us. Perfect.
Thank you,
Laura.
So much for your time. I really appreciate it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, appreciate it a lot. We'll get more information on this from you, but thanks a million for coming on with us. And I just wanted to let people know that We the People, the program that I normally do, this Sunday will be all about national security. So we have Claire Lopez from the CIA. We've got a couple people from different security organizations, and that's from noon to 2. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. And Sam and I are going to work.
Yeah, fun.
Thanks, Sam. It was fun playing Carl. Did you enjoy playing Linda?
I really like being Linda.
It would have been better to be on the Alaskan cruise, though. We should have had them play themselves.
Yeah.
Jared?
Say something, Jared. Look at him. He never says anything.
I'm like, just say something.
Anything.
You did the weather. Have a great day, everybody.
Yeah. Good luck with all that rain, Jared, for